DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Final hour of power right here on a Wednesday afternoon leading up to the NBA draft coming up tonight just after 8 o'clock from Brooklyn. And, of course, Liddell Willingham will anchor our NBA draft coverage from 7 to 11 right here on the Team 980 and always live and free on the Odyssey app right after Craig Hoffman. Tomorrow morning from 10 to 1, you can hear Kevin Sheehan's reaction to who the Wizards took, didn't take, what they did, 6 and 18 right now on the board. And we'll see if any other trades happen. But Coach Sheehan is with us right here, right now, for his spin on a bunch of things, because he knows more about the NBA and college hoops than anybody I know. And always good to pick Kevin's brain a little bit. Kev, how are you?
Christopher, what's going on?
Well, there's actually a lot going on. And, I'm not Mr. NBA or Mr. College Hoops, but I'm actually intrigued by this draft. And I'm wondering if you are the same. Of course, every draft, there's lots of questions and lots of chaos that can happen. But am I sensing, just big picture, that there is a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, intrigue because of the apron thing and teams looking to get younger and cheaper, and then all sorts of different teams that could do all sorts of different things, and the trades, both pre-pick, post-pick, and everything in between? I think it's going to be nuts tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is the – look, the NFL draft is completely different. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's much more interest in the NFL and the NFL draft. Secondly, it's, even though it's not very predictive, you know, relatively speaking to other things, it's more predictive in terms of, you know, evaluation of players than the NBA draft is. The NBA draft is such a crapshoot. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, of the 60 players, I guess, over two rounds that'll get picked, just a very tiny percentage will end up being players that we even know of four or 5 years from now. And that's what, you know, the NFL draft, you end up having a significant percentage of those players end up being players that we talk about. We don't know who the best players are going to be out of that thing either, but the NBA draft year in and year out is you got to try to find the four or five guys, you know, out of the draft that are going to be really good, and then the other four or five that are going to be contributors. But everybody else will be playing, you know, overseas or not playing at all 5 years from now.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not the biggest fan of the NBA draft. And then the other part of it, Chris, is these are 18-year-olds.
Yep.
I mean, in a sport where older teams, until this year, but older teams typically are the teams that win. And it's because of physical and mental maturity. And, you know, we saw the youngest team since 77 just win the title. And what was interesting about that team is there was a lot of maturity on that team, even though age-wise they weren't mature. But, it's so hard to project. So hard to project, because most of these players are 18, 19. They only played 1 year of college, if that. This is the first year in many years we're not seeing a draft dominated by foreign players.
Yeah, there are, no, that's true.
We're seeing a lot of college players that played, you know, 1 year primarily. Some played more than that, but it's just so hard. And anybody that tells you they've got it figured out is way off. Now, occasionally you get some freak of nature like Wembanyama, and you know that barring injuries or barring the guy being a terrible person, he's going to be the real deal. Cooper Flagg's not that, but Cooper Flagg's up there, you know, among number one overalls that are, it's a pretty safe bet that this guy's going to be at least, you know, a starting contributing high level player at some point. Whether or not he'll be that, you know, true superstar that leads a franchise to a title, you know, I don't think anybody can predict that now.
And maybe with Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving back, and they re-signed the center. My goodness.
Yeah, Gafford.
Yeah, Gafford. Daniel Gafford. Yeah, maybe he won't have to be some off-the-chart superstar for the first couple of years of his career because he's surrounded by veteran talent. Obviously, he'll be the number one pick. I'm curious, if I heard correctly at the end of your show, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you said, I believe you said you're not the biggest Ace Bailey fan, and that is, you know, the odds-on or most likely pick that I think people have, and circling for the Wizards. Go into that a little bit and why you don't love him other than what is being reported out there, which is he's refusing workouts. He seems to be a little bit of a diva, but I've heard some good things about him, not only his shot-making ability, but also his craft and his ability or his dedication to improving his game.
Well, let me just say this. He's really talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there were games he played in this year where it was like, wow. And not just on the offensive end, but on the defensive end where he was, you know, a big-time shot blocker, you know, whatever his height is, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. We've seen so many different heights. For me, you know I watch a lot of college basketball, sure. And I certainly watch every single minute of every single Maryland game. And Rutgers only played Maryland once this year in conference. It was a game in College Park, and it was a game that was billed as, we're going to see two of the top three picks in the draft and another guy that probably will go, you know, close to top 10 in Derek Queen. And Ace Bailey was terrible in the game. Queen had 29 and 15. Maryland dominated Rutgers, and Ace Bailey tapped out in the game, you know, and said that he was sick. Had 4 points, left the game, you know, played in it, but just looked awful. And that's just one of those things when you're watching basketball and it's like, wow, this is the guy that's supposed to be, you know, go two or three after Cooper Flagg. I love Dylan Harper, by the way. So it's unfair to judge somebody on his worst moment. But that's just the moment that stuck with me. And there were other games when you watched him where he was kind of out to lunch, like just overly casual, overly, you know, just sort of not into it. And so then you combine that with a lot of this pre-draft process stuff that nobody really likes. I'm leery. I'm also leery on a guy that has for 2 years been projected to go two or three behind Cooper Flagg. It's been Harper and Bailey all along, two and three. Why he'd be available at six? That should be a red flag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little bit leery, but I watched him against Northwestern this year, and the dude was outrageous. He's so gifted, so talented, but a lot of these guys are that. You know, we see that every year in the NBA draft. With you know, athleticism and length and shot making and shot blocking, et cetera. And you got to get the right person. That's a big part of this.
Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, right here on the Team 980, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 1. You can also watch it on YouTube, on the Team 980's YouTube page. Kevin, of course, and the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast and everything in between. Of course, big-time NBA, college hoops, and, of course, Maryland. We'll get to Derek Queen in a sec. Let me ask you this. You mentioned you mentioned Ace Bailey's shot-blocking ability. That's one thing. Do you believe and maybe this is a working theory of mine, Kev. I'm just telling you, I don't know anything. I'm just guessing. I'm trying to, like, guess here. That the way Oklahoma City was built, of course, yes, the SGA trade, but defense, steals, just pressure, all of that stuff. Do you believe that with Coulibaly and Sarr, two defensive-first guys, that that is the DNA of Will Dawkins as a general manager, as a draft evaluator, and maybe that will lean or tip the scales towards a defensive-ready type contributor, offensive high ceiling, high athlete type contributor down the line when it comes to either six or, I suppose, 18 tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, Oklahoma City won the championship with defense over a two-month period. I mean, it was the number one reason they won. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was tremendous at times. He ended up averaging 30 for the postseason. And they have other offensive weapons for sure, and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren at times for sure. I've thought about that, but I don't know. I think the bottom line is you can't contend for a title and win a title without a top five player. Mm-hmm. So that's what you have to be thinking about. You know, molding a team in a defensive kind of thing is only great if you end up with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander on your roster, an obvious top five player. You know, I've talked about this for a long time. You've got to go back to the 04 Pistons to find an NBA champion that didn't have a debatable top five player on the roster, a true superstar. Mm-hmm. And every pick they make, they should be thinking, we got to pick the guy that we think has the best chance in 5 years of being, you know, a first or second team all-NBA player, you know, and then because that's how you win championships. You don't win championships without that guy. So whatever they are hoping to mold the team around, you know, in terms of philosophical, you know, defense first, you still need the superstar player. So the Coulibaly draft, the draft last year, the two picks tonight, the two or three picks next year and what, you know, could be another loaded draft. They've got to land on the superstar and then another one to two players that are, you know, right below that line. And then maybe, Chris, if we're even still interested in sports in 2030, 2031, they're contending for something. I mean, what Oklahoma City did going 22-24 in tank mode and then winning a title 2 years after 24 wins is so far an aberration. I don't know that that's going to happen again in the next few years. But the league has changed, and it's changed by design. I mean, we've got more parity than we've ever had before.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I'd love to kind of, again, debate the merits of how you can win other than having that generational talent because they're so hard to find. But I understand where you're coming from. Let me ask it to you this way. At six, of course, there was rumors over the weekend that they were looking to move up. Nothing would surprise us. They, of course, can pick a player at six and then trade him. They can have a player picked before six by another team and trade for that. We all know there's a lot of different options.
Yeah, but, can they fix that so we know while we're watching who's going where?
Right. But if Kevin Sheehan had the pick, and amongst the – meaning non-Cooper flag division – is there one guy that you would go, oh, my God, if he's there, I absolutely, no questions asked, I'm going to take this guy?
I mean, I preface it by saying we don't know anything about these people, right? Just like we say with the NFL draft.
Sure.
And that's a big part of it. Look at Sam Presti and the quality of people their players are. They're great players.
Yeah.
But it was also an incredible group of young men.
They all seem to have that, like, that brotherhood thing that we hear so much about with Quinn and the Commanders.
Yeah, and then the other part is, too, you know, these are 18- and 19-year-olds primarily. So, you know, but of the players that could be there at six if they don't trade up, I really like Trey Johnson. I think that he is an absolute fearless, high-level, badass competitor who's going to score big time at the NBA level. Mm-hmm. And he played in the best league in the country against some of the best defensive teams in the country, teams like Tennessee and Auburn. And I liked watching him. Players that could, like, Edgecombe is a ridiculous athlete. I like Knuppel too, But Trey Johnson out of the guys that would be there at six. Now, that's assuming that you don't consider Derek Queen to be in that, you know, six to eight range.
Right.
Because I think Derek Queen is going to be a great NBA player down the road. And if he ends up getting selected, you know, a late lottery or even outside the lottery, I'm going to consider that team to have stolen a player. And there are other players in that range of 18 with their second pick or a trade up, you know, somewhere from, you know, 12 to 15 that I really like too. But Trey Johnson's the guy that if he's there at six and everybody else, you know, the Knupples, the Edgecombs, I mean, obviously Dylan Harper is going to be gone, Flagg is going to be gone. I think this guy's going to be a big-time scorer at the NBA level, and he's an absolute badass, highly competitive, fearless player.
Right. Seems like an assassin type, right?
I mean, he's one of these guys. He's 18 years old, and his very first game against Ohio State in Vegas, he takes 20 shots.
Mm.
He takes 10 threes. Like, he walked onto the court as a freshman in his first game thinking he was the best player on the floor.
Mm.
I like guys like that, and he can really score in a lot of different ways.
I can see that. I mentioned earlier if they were to take Trey Johnson, does that indicate that they might already have a deal for C.J. McCollum to go elsewhere before he even plays a game here? Or Corey Kispert?
No.
Does anything like that ring true in your mind?
I don't think anything they did yesterday should dictate what they do tonight. They have to be picking the player that, again, at any position that they think has the best chance of being, you know, first, second, third team All-NBA within 4 or 5
years.
Gotcha.
That's
what they should be doing.
One more, and I'll let you go because I know you've had a long day and a long night ahead. And don't forget, again, everybody, Linnell Willingham anchoring our NBA draft coverage from Capital One Arena tonight, starting at 7 right until 11 o'clock, Team 980, Odyssey app, everything in between. Craig will obviously follow us, Kevin's reaction tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. right here on the Team 980. So you mentioned already Derek Queen. You think he's going to be a great NBA player. I think he's going to be a good NBA player. I don't know about great. We'll see. But I sent you a list. Kevin Pelton, I think, is pretty well respected. Heavy analytics, sharp statistics, all that. He's got him ranked 32nd out of the top 30 players that he ranked. And then he has more players after that. But 32nd for Derek Queen. And he cites, you know, again, lower two-point shooting percentage, lower block percentage, not a great athlete, all this stuff. I don't see all of that. I mean, I see some flaws that he certainly needs to work on. You already said he's going to be great. I would imagine this has got to piss you off.
Well, I mean, again, nobody knows anything. I mean, this is a guy that I think does really good work, but he had SGA as the 36th best player in his draft. So it's such a hard thing. I mean, when I say he's going to be great, he's a basketball player. Like, I love guys that can play basketball.
Right.
Everybody else, a lot of the times, you're just projecting based on athleticism and what you're projecting them to turn into as a basketball player. Derek Queen is old school. You know, they called him the baby Jokic before he played in his first game. And what we saw over the course of the entire season was, nobody's going to be the next Nikola Jokic, but that's his game. He's got great feel. He's got phenomenal hands and feet. He's a great passer. He knows how to play the game. You know, there are things that I didn't love. He's going to struggle certainly early in his career to defend. Jokic isn't a great defender. I think he's got a better stroke than a lot of people, you know, that have mocked him lower. I think he'll eventually be able to stretch the floor. But he was never going to be a great pre-draft process guy because he's not, you know, outrageously athletic. He just knows how to play basketball and has just an off-the-charts basketball IQ, a lot of confidence, highly competitive. I think somebody's going to get a guy that's going to actually be able to contribute right away because he knows how to play. It's going to be fun to watch his growth. I hope there are a couple of things that bothered me at times. Like, you know, he was a bit casual at times and not urgent enough. But that was also an 18-year-old learning how to play against Big Ten men, you know, at times early in the season. But I think if he isn't a lottery pick, I think teams made a mistake and judged him too much on lack of athleticism.
There you go. Kevin, I appreciate you as always. I know it's been a long day, long night ahead, but I know you love it. And there's nobody I'd rather have on and pick the brain of than the great Kevin Sheehan. Coach Sheehan, as some might call you. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right, Chris.
Thanks for
having me.
That is Kevin Sheehan. Again, reaction tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., bright and early. Well, not bright and early. Kind of early. Earlier than I come on. You'll get my reaction at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I don't know if you want it, but you'll get my reaction. Judging by Twitter, some of you are very unhappy with me that I want to win as opposed to play ping pong with lottery balls again for the next 3 years. No thanks. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, thanks to Kevin Sheehan for joining us. Good spot there. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, he'll be live tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 1, Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And you get the special bonus live on YouTube. You know, in one day you'll be blessed by seeing my ugly mug on YouTube. One day. Craig Hoffman is coming up on YouTube. Liddell Willingham, I heard, was on YouTube last night. Doing overtime over on The Fan. So, interesting. Interesting. Speaking of Linnell, again, tonight, 7 to 11, NBA draft coverage. As the Wizards are on the clock for right now at 6 and 18. And again, I do think there'll be a lot of intrigue. I don't think, even if Ace Bailey is there, I don't think it's a slam dunk. Like, nothing would surprise me. Kevin seemed to, you know, think, well, not seem to think, pretty much believes that, look, there is no identity, DNA thing, whatever. You've just got to go with the best or the player that you think gives you the best chance at landing a superstar. And I understand that. So yesterday on 106.7 The Fan, after the trade for Jordan Poole and landing C.J. McCollum, Brian Getzeiler, who has done lots of media work, he's with Pro Basketball Talk, I believe, which is part of the Pro Football Talk Network now. And he talked about a number of things and what the trade, what the flexibility, what the cap, what the situation all means. So I wanted to bring you that before we get to one more piece of sound, I should say, that we have for you in terms of what the future now looks like and what they need to keep doing.
They're not there yet, and I say that in this way. Get talent, 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 and talent. Bring in talented guys. The other thing I would say is this.
don't get too hung up on timeline. Listen, you don't want guys on the north side of 30, but if you have an opportunity to bring in a 27-year-old player at the beginning of his prime and you got to pay him a little bit extra to do it, well, you go ahead and do it. Kind of like you look for the Knicks version of Jalen Brunson. Like Knicks had Jalen Brunson, they were able to do that with and bring in on a contract that people were scratching their heads a little bit, considering it was like double what the Mavs had offered. But it ended up being a fantastic bargain deal for them. That's the one point that I'll say is that, listen, you're going to want that kind of mature guard there to be able to lead the way. But who is that guy? Is that guy going to be available? Listen, interesting trade went down last night regarding the Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers. Anthony Simons was brought to Boston not to be a long-term solution in Boston, but to help them get off Holiday's money. Well, Anthony Simons, his free agency is going to coincide with the Wizards having a lot of that money. You know, Simons is he's a professional scorer. I don't know how well he guards. He doesn't pass that great, but he's a professional scorer. My point being is if Simons goes to Boston and the Joe Mazzulla system seems to fit him and, you know, he improves and their good player development program develops them and he can go make more money with the Wizards than he can staying with the Celtics. Maybe he's interested in that. So that's the kind of example of a guy who has already had a second contract, came into the league very young, but you're going to get a guy at the age of 24, 25 that's ready to contribute on a big level and can see him improve under your watch. That's the kind of guy that you're looking at. But again, the Wizards, this is an important point to make to Wizards fans. You're not in roster building mode yet. You're still in asset accumulation mode. You just need more good players there. And that's why what happens tomorrow night with this number six picks, very, very important to them. They're going to have to be able to go get themselves a guy that is going to be a long-term solution, and it doesn't matter what position he plays.
All right, that's Brian Getzler, pro basketball talk with 106.7 The Fan yesterday afternoon, Grant and Danny, after the trade. All right, one more cut for you, and then we'll do a final trending alert, and then we will come back and a couple of other loose item things before the end of the show and before we take it into Craig Hoffman. David Aldridge, again, we played a couple of cuts earlier. This one more, you know, of course, again, I've been mentioning over and over and over again, Will Dawkins comes from Oklahoma City. Michael Wenger originally was in Oklahoma City. They built this championship team, defense, defense, defense. Yes, they landed SGA in a trade. Yes, he has turned into a superstar. Yes, you need that ideally to go along. And even that wasn't always enough offense. I get it. I understand that. But you have to build a roster, and you have to be able to be defensively oriented, I believe, to give yourself a chance while your offense kind of goes up and down, which is kind of how it is in Oklahoma City. I think a little bit differently than Sheehan, it sounds like. I certainly think a lot differently than maybe some of the analytics amigos and whatnot. But here's David Aldridge on what he thinks the Wizards are basically trying to do.
Look. Please understand what I'm about to say, because I know people are going to take this and go, he's comparing him to Oklahoma City. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that Oklahoma City found and identified a core group of young guys that they felt good about building around. And they always rolled their cap space over until there was a veteran worth going after. And they did that last summer with Isaiah Hartenstein, right? Like they found, they said, we've got SGA, we've got Chet Holmgren, we've got Lou Dort, we've got these guys that we like. And we've got all this cap space, but we need something else. We need another piece to kind of get us to the next level. And Hartenstein came in and really helped them win the championship this year. So I think the Wizards are in a similar vein. Their players aren't as good, right? I understand that. Please do not clip this off and say Aldridge is comparing the Wizards to the Thunder. What I'm saying is they can have an opportunity, like Oklahoma City did, to enhance a young core that needs a real veteran that can grow with them and play with them. And I think that's what they're setting themselves up to potentially do in the summer of 26.
I think that's more than fair. I mean, nobody is comparing just because Will Dawkins and Michael Wenger originally came from Oklahoma City and Dawkins more recently. Nobody is saying that they're Oklahoma City or that they have an SGA. Nobody's saying that. But defense first. Not just blocking shots, steals, harassing, keeping scores lower so that your offense, when it's up and down, inconsistent. And yes, again, you need somebody to blossom into an SGA type. Doesn't have to be SGA, but something into an SGA type. That's how you can win in the regular season, win in the playoffs, give yourself a chance at a championship. All right, final trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Ah, we're getting you set for Nationals baseball coming up at 4:10 this afternoon in San Diego. Series finale at Petco Park. They'll send Mackenzie Gore to the mound. After blowing a 3-0 lead last night, Trevor Williams and the defense couldn't hold it. Again, Gore at 3-7 overall, but a 3.19 ERA and 123 Ks in 93 innings against his former team, the team that traded him, of course, in the Juan Soto deal. Nick Pivetta for the Padres, 7-2 with a 3.64 ERA on the afternoon. Again, 4:10 coming up this afternoon from Petco Park. The fan who taunted Ketel Marte, so much so that the Diamondback second baseman came to the mound in tears last night about his late mother, has been banned indefinitely from all Major League Baseball stadiums, not just in Chicago. 22-year-old fan apparently made fun of Marte's mother, who died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic in 2017. Apparently not the first time he has been involved in something like that. There was an earlier incident with Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran that the same fan apparently was involved in. And finally, the Seahawks of the NFL reaching a deal with Shaquille Griffin, who returns to the 206. That's where he started his career. 1 year, $3 million deal worth up to $4 million, and that's what's trending.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So it's 3-2. 4-3 San Diego. Suarez ready. He kicks and he fires. Swing and a miss. Down goes Wood. He chased a changeup down and out of the zone, and the ball game is over. The Padres even the series with a 4-3 win.
Yeah, it's going to happen. That wasn't a great at-bat by James Wood. I think he hit into a double play. He beat one out, potentially. Was a double play in the previous at-bat because of the long strides that he has and because he runs hard and he plays hard. But that wasn't a great at-bat last night to end it. Dave Jagler on the call, 106.7, and the Nats radio network. Nats and Padres coming back up at 4:10 today. We just told you about that, Mackenzie Gore. But last night kind of sucked because, you know, you're watching the game, right, and they get out to a 3-0 lead, and you're thinking, ah, all right, even with Trevor Williams, they've got a chance here, taking the first two and Mackenzie Gore on the mound for the series finale. And then, boom, immediately gives it right back, at least to make it 3-2. And then the next half inning, it's 3-3. Cronenworth had an RBI double to make it 3-2. There was a home run in there as well. I'm trying to remember who that – Maldonado made it 3-3. Right. Okay, that's what it was. Ultimately, the Padres win 4-3 last night in San Diego if you weren't up late night. I want to take you to one key situation, though. And this was where they lost the game ultimately. Of course, it's a key situation. But after it's already 3-3, right, and they've blown the 3-0 lead, and you're thinking, this isn't probably going to be good. And you were right. You were right, because they got the three runs, and of course they didn't score any more the rest of the night. And sometimes that happens. But here's what happened. In the bottom of the sixth inning, again, 3-3 game, after Wood strikes out to end the top of the sixth, Gavin Sheets, Padres, lead off, walk. This Trevor Williams still in. Xander Bogaerts, who stinks this year, walk. First and second, nobody out, two walks back to back. Cole Henry comes in for Trevor Williams, who obviously had lost it, and Jake Cronenworth walks. Not one, not two, not three, walks to start the half inning. 3-3 game, now bases loaded, nobody out. And then Jose Iglesias comes up and hits a relatively hard ground ball to Nathaniel Lowe, who used to be a Gold Glove first baseman. And, you know, listen, I know some people have been hard on Nathaniel Lowe this year. I haven't personally been. I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been great by any stretch of the imagination, and I would never say such a thing. But in this particular case, nobody out, bases loaded, so you have a force at any base, and you know you have to kind of cut down the lead runner because you're trying to keep the game tied at 3-3. You're trying to turn a double play, ideally. So the ball gets bounced to first, and it would be more than a bounce to first. Fairly hard hit to first. But Lowe picks it up at the cutout, and he thinks about going home. And he should have gone home. Absolutely should have gone home. And he goes, he pauses, he thinks about it, and he decides not to go for it. And he runs over to first, and he gets an out, but the lead run scores, or the go-ahead run scores. And that ultimately would be all the Padres would need, which, again, we can get to in a sec. But you see Lowe, like, shaking his head after that, just kind of contemplating, oh, man, I should have gone home. What am I doing? What am I thinking? I should have been more aggressive, what have you. When you look at the replay from the third base camera well, there is no doubt, unless he made a terrible throw, that the runner was going to be out on a force out. Again, didn't even need to be tagged out at home. That doesn't go down as an error. It goes down as basically a fielder's choice. It's an error. It's an error. It sucks, but it's an error in judgment. Not an error in execution as much as an error in judgment. And the Nationals lost 4-3 because, again, as usual, they couldn't scratch out a run when all they needed was a run in the late innings. And that happens so many times, so many games. It's amazing how many times they just need one hit and they can't even, they can't buy anything late in the game. And I know James Wood had the walk-off home run last Thursday. I got it. Please, that's the Rockies. I'm talking about decent teams, good teams. So after that, right, Brady House. Now, because the lead run scores and the runner is out at first, you have Bogaerts at third, Cronenworth at second. So you have second and third, one out. So first base is open. They pitch to Maldonado. Makes sense, even though he hit the home run earlier. And he bounces one to third. And the rookie, Brady House, as the runner from third is taking off, he comes down the line, fields it, and aggressively throws home. Now, there you need to make a tag. It's not a force. So it's a more difficult play, but Brady House makes it. Great defense. Great decision. Great execution. Everything. Good tag. good, smart. Again, Nathaniel Lowe, one play. Not a bird brain decision, but just a decision that's the wrong one. And there's no doubt he was kicking himself for it. And yet Brady House, the rookie who's got 1 week of experience, makes a great play. Makes a great decision. Great execution. And then they got out of it after that. So it kept it 4-3. But again, the Nationals just had absolute anemicness, if you will, in the final three innings and three at-bats of the game. 1-2-3 in the seventh. 1-2-3 in the eighth. And in the ninth, they didn't go 1-2-3. Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. I'm sorry. I thought C.J. Abrams had gotten on base in the ninth inning. But they went 1-2-3 in the ninth. Once again, down 4-3. Out. Done. Goodbye. Sucks. They had a 3-0 lead. They had a chance to win the series last night. They had a chance to set up for a sweep today. It sucks and it's frustrating, but I can live sort of with losses like that as they continue to develop. This is, again, why when we talk about the Wizards, why it's so important for them to start winning. And, again, every analyst, every media person in the world thinks that I'm wrong and that you should suck for an eternity. And that all of a sudden, the sun is going to shine down on you. Well, it doesn't work that way. Young teams, young players, often, and Nathaniel Lowe is not a young player, but young teams and young players often struggle for what? One word, consistency. That's what C.J. McCollum brings them, consistency. We said that immediately yesterday, consistency. They didn't have it. They don't have it defensively. They don't have it offensively. They don't have it shooting. They don't have it night in, night out. They don't have anything like it, meaning the Wizards. Well, neither do the Nationals. The Nationals have no consistency at all. Whether it's offense, whether it's defense, whether it's starting pitching, bullpen, there's zero consistency. And last night is a perfect example of it. It's what happens when you're a young team. It is really, really, really hard to be consistent with a bunch of veterans and guys that have seen it all, been there, done it all, and don't have the Hershey squirts in their underwear late in a game. Sorry, AMAC. Sorry for offending you. I apologize for
it's not
a disturbing visual.
It's not offending. It's more so of just the way you phrase things again. One of a kind.
Does it offend you? Does it bother you to be associated with that or no?
If anyone knows me, I'm the guy who talks about, you know, frequent potty breaks. I'll go with.
Okay.
I like talking about that. That's my
little
thing.
Potty humor, sure.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to add that one to my rotation more so. Right. Like, wow, I've never heard that one before.
Okay.
Remarkable.
Right. Well, you never know what you're going to hear on this show. See, people think I'm making fun of people. Not cookie-cutter radio. We just think differently than the rest. Good or bad, we think differently than the rest. We do a different show than the rest. You know, good or bad. I'm not saying it's always great. I think it's pretty good. I think it's better than the average bear. We think about things that nobody else thinks of. And we often are proven right. Often. Not all the time. Often. And I believe we will be proven right when it comes to the Wizards. I believe we'll be proven right when it comes to the Nationals, so on and so forth. That being said, this is what happens when you're a young, still struggling, building team. You're inconsistent. You're all over the place. There is nothing to hang your hat on and count on. And the Nationals proved it again last night, as they've constantly proved it. The Wizards prove it just about every night. Sure, they'll win a game here and there and, you know, maybe two games against Brooklyn and the Charlotte Hornets, who they can beat all the time. But that's about it. The rest of it is just a mishmash, a complete roller coaster with many more lows than highs. All right, coming up next, dum-dum of the day. We wrap things up. Oh, wait, what did this guy swallow? We'll tell you next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, and we take you to the dumbest state in all the land, Florida. Yes, surprise. From the smoking gun just recently. Police dash cam video capturing officers fighting, struggling with a convicted jewel thief. What for, you might ask? In an attempt to keep the man from stealing and swallowing. Tiffany and Company diamonds worth $770,000. That's right. Jathon Gilder, 32, on Interstate 10 in Chipley. I don't even know where that is. Oh, it's about 330 miles from Orlando. Whatever. Was driving in a rented car. He was pulled over by troopers. They had received a be on the lookout alert. Apparently robbed a Tiffany and Company store in a mall in Orlando earlier that day. His rap sheet contained a litany of jewelry robberies. He was suspected of posing as a representative of an NBA player interested in purchasing diamonds at one point. The man grabbed, after being shown to a private room, he grabbed a bunch of jewels, stole them, all that stuff. After being pulled from his vehicle and handcuffed, he was being walked to the squad car when a trooper noticed that, he was talking with a closed mouth like this and was moving an object around under his tongue. And then you can see the video and, they struggled to get the jewels out of his mouth. They tased him. He said he swallowed something and they had to x-ray the alleged perpetrator because he actually did swallow the jewels, and eventually, they were able to get them back. Eventually, they were able to get them back. What a dumbass! Yeah, there's more details here, but I'm out of time. I got to turn things over to Craig Hoffman, who is next. He'll take you up until our NBA draft coverage at 7 with Linnell, 7 to 11 tonight. So you're a spot for the NBA draft and what the Wizards will do right here. The Team 980 and the Odyssey app back together tomorrow at 1. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to Kevin Sheehan. Thanks to you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.